Today on Real Life Radio.
I believe that there's nothing that you can experience in this life of yours that the Bible cannot answer. The Bible has the answer for everything that man, that woman, that boy or girl will experience in this life. God's Word.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called Why Is There a Good and Evil? From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they really believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to the universal questions we all face in life. But if God is a good God, why does He allow evil to exist in the world? Well, when we break down good and evil, we need to go back to creation. In the beginning, God had a plan that started with Adam and Eve, and it was all good. Then, what went wrong? So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when God introduced logic and reason into Adam and Eve's life, it changed everything. With the ability to choose, we have a responsibility to do what's right and what's good, and not to pursue evil. And now in a message called Why Is There a Good and Evil? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles if you have one, and if you invited a friend tonight, you can open up your Bible and let them peek in on where we're going tonight as we are continuing now in our third installment of what is entitled our latest series called the Why Series. The Why Series. And tonight, if you'll look to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, we're going to use that verse to launch off now into our next topic. If you're new here tonight, we're taking these topics that people are dealing with and topics that need to be discussed. And again, this is just our third study in a series of many studies to come, and we are going to cover all of the topics. I say all. I'm going to try hard to cover all of the topics that you and your kids are dealing with in the world that you live in and in the world around you. And so in the last couple of weeks, if you missed it, you can go online and check it out. But we were talking about the existence of God. And we're talking about the nature of man, who we are and what we've been created to be. And what about this God concept? I am taking this series in a way that I'm not assuming everybody who would come to church on a Wednesday night's a believer. I've asked the church to bring their friends that may or may not be a believer, or maybe somebody that's struggling to know more about life and the meaning of life. And we believe that the Bible has the answer to that. It's not us. We don't have it. But we have access to the Word of God itself for us to look at and to find out. And I've told you guys in the opening that I personally believe, somebody didn't like this comment, but I believe it. In the opening service of these series, I said that I believe that life is somewhat rigged in such a way that the Bible answers all the questions of life. Maybe I put it in a clumsy way. Let me put it to you this way. I believe that there's nothing that you can experience in this life of yours that the Bible cannot answer. The Bible has the answer for everything that man, that woman, that boy or girl will experience in this life. God's Word. And so tonight we're going to be looking at, and we lifted up out of Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Tonight we're going to be looking at why is there good and evil? Why is there good and evil? And how can you claim to believe in a God that's good when there's so much evil in the world and it seems like evil's increasing? Why is there good and evil? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, and God is speaking, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and cursings. How about good and evil? Now I will call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, listen to God. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Isn't that an awesome statement? Maybe you're new to the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible is announcing right here, right now, this is my desire. This is what I want for you. I want you to choose life and I want you to live. And he even goes so far to say, I want you to choose a blessing and not a curse. The God of the Bible, the God of all promises. But you say, Jack, you know, you're making this big assumption. You mentioned this God and the Bible and everything that you guys are believing in, but I look around the world and I see a completely different world. I see a world of hostility. I see a world of hatred. I see a world of evil and of violence rising. So how can you say that God is good? And yet I can happily proclaim that God is good because first of all, God says of himself that he is good. But if God is good and the world is bad, then what kind of God is this in the Bible? Is he a God that has wound up things and turned it loose in creation and it's gotten out of hand? If he's a benevolent God, then why did sin enter the world and we wind up in the case that we're in tonight? You know, the Bible answers all these questions. And I think the greatest verse, if you had to sum it all up into one verse, it would be that Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 verse. So as we continue on in this series tonight, we're going to be asking that question that has seemingly, I don't know, plagued the universe since creation, since the fall, I should say, is why is there good and why is there evil? You'd think it'd be one way or another. And I'm going to reduce everything down to basically two reasonable worldviews. Coming from the realm of the believer, the Bible, the Christian, Judeo-Christian worldview, I believe that the Bible teaches and I believe that the world shows evidence of a benevolent, loving, wise, and all-caring God. The other group would be those that would present to us the concept or theory in which from it all other religions seem to come out of, that there's some sort of existence of a power that is good and there's a power that is bad, and this dualism is the answer for everything. And maybe some of you in philosophy or in comparative religions, you're familiar with the concept or the belief of dualism. I'm not going to waste your time with other views. But those two views seem to be the most reasonable views when you look at all that there is in the world to examine. Because there's good in the world, church. There's good in the world. If the world is a bad place, then how do you explain the good that's in it? If God is bad and he's lost control out of everything, then why are good things still happening? Why is the universe still operating? But then on the other side, the dualism says, no, there's these two mindless forces. In fact, you know what? Did you ever see Star Wars? And what did they, how do they greet one another or say farewell to one another? May the what? May the force be with you. That was a play off of dualism. That there's, when you look around the world, there's really two big power brokers. One is good, one is evil, and they collide against each other in a habitual manner, and this is life. I disagree with dualism, but outside of Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, it's the only reasonable thing that's out there, to be honest with you. But I believe that the biblical account is what's true, and I believe that we as believers need to argue why it's true. And so we start here tonight. The Bible tells us that regarding man's creation, going back to this thing, answering the good and evil question, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, that it was in the cool of the day that Adam and Eve walked with God. So the Bible opens up with this account, if you believe it or not, that the God of the Bible says in his account that I walked with Adam and Eve. I walked with man and woman in the cool of the garden. And the Bible says he did this personally. And in creation, church, the Bible there tells us that over and over again in the days of creation, at the end of the day, God saw that it was good. And then as he neared the end, the Bible says as God looked over all that had been created, he said, it is very good. Very good. So it goes from good to very good. And then the next mention of the word good is God sees Adam in the garden with the animals by himself, and God says, this is not good. I love it. God looks at Adam and says, not good. Not good. It's not that God made a bad man. It's just that God made an incomplete man. God had a plan. And to complete man, God would make the woman. God would make Eve. And all the women said, amen. Amen. That man is complete with the woman. And that's the way that we've been designed. And so the word of God starts out from the beginning, making no apology about it. It was all good. That same Bible that tells us that God started it out good is the very same book that tells us that God gave to Adam and Eve the option. And we don't like this. And I'm going to confess to you tonight, I don't like how this goes, but there is no other answer. Because I, like you, I want to kind of have a little bit of a robotic answer to what I'm about to say. The Bible tells us that God had placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and of the tree of life. And the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve partook of the tree of knowledge, the tree that would reveal to them the good and the bad. And God had told them, don't do that. Now, if you're a reasonably thinking individual, you're saying right now, this is a setup. And I agree with you emotionally that the God of the Bible, wait, are you telling me that he sets up the scene for the first crime to be committed by there a tree being of good and evil, of knowledge? And you said that God said to them, don't eat of this tree. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You might ask, why would God do that? Well, the only thing that we can conclude theologically and ethically and morally is that God, who is God, has the prerogative to say, you can do this and you can do that. By the way, he didn't force them. Hear me out, everybody. Make note of it, atheist, agnostic, person struggling tonight. God did not say, hey, I think you two are weirdos. After making you, I'm not interested in you. So what I'd like to have you do is eat that tree over there that will ruin you forever. Notice he didn't say that. He said, that tree is here. You can have all the other trees. Don't touch that tree. And the moment the option is introduced, the human will is tested. There's no other way around it. Good and evil comes from the understanding that we practice choice. We can do that. God has built into you and I a great level of sovereignty. And it's evident in the Garden of Eden. Adam, Eve, don't touch that tree. Everything else, great. And as soon as that was open to them, at just the right time, they gravitated toward the forbidden experience. What was going on? Put yourself in their sandals. What were they thinking? Something was told to them that they could not have. They being sovereign, independent, by the way, keep this in mind, they were so different than you and I, they were perfect, we're not. So whatever's going on is something that is of such a level of logic, reason, debate, and temptation that God didn't make them do it. God didn't tempt them by it. God, that's what Satan did. What God said is simply this, obey. And this is where we begin. There is only one way for you to experience and to understand actual interactive love with another human being, and that is this mutual understanding of love and obey. Now, I'm not talking about someone looking at you or putting their hands on their hips and saying, now you obey me, you're supposed to love me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that in reverse. Because I love you, I obey. So can you not stumble over the word obey? By the way, I do weddings, and it's so amazing in this day and age. When you mention the word, and do you promise this day to love and to honor and to obey, everyone's fine. The groom, the bride, they're fine. The crowd's fine. The moment I say the word obey, you could hear a flea sing. I mean, it's amazing. And that's sad because the culture has just been so off the rails from God. But when you love someone, listen, I love my wife. If she says, can you get me a cup of coffee, please? okay, if I got to get out of bed and I got to go down the hallway, I got to make it and all this kind of stuff. If that's a problem for me, something's probably wrong in my heart. Yeah, but you got to get out of bed. Because I love her, I'm going to obey her request. Do you understand? Because I do that out of choice. It's a joy. It's a joy to do this. And when it comes to knowing God, you can have all of the organized religion in the world and none of it is going to matter. As we ended last week announcing that the greatest experience is for you to love God out of choice, but you can't love God on your own out of choice unless you realize that he first loved you. God loves you. We sang these awesome worship songs tonight to a creator who loves you. But we talk about this good and evil. And so the first thing that we're going to consider tonight regarding this is why is there good and evil? Mark it down if you would. Is because we know that good exists. This almost seems overly obvious, but because we know that good exists. My dear friends, mark this down. There is no scientific, no ethical, no moral way, no logical or reasonable way for you to know that good exists. It is impossible for you to know anything of good and value without the knowledge of evil. You would never know good. In fact, let me put it to you this way. You and I understand in this argument of good and evil that if we look at it clearly in a forensic or a chronological way, good must precede evil. You have to have good before you can't have, listen, you can't have evil and then have good come out of it. It's impossible. Did you know that? You have to have good first. Why? Because whatever is evil, whatever it is something that has been twisted or polluted that was once good. In fact, okay, so if you have an apple that rots, it becomes a bad apple, right? If you have a bad apple, will it ever become a good apple? Evil is good perverted. For example, sex and sexuality. God made it. It's good. He said it was. Perversion. What is it? It is the abuse of what is good. It takes that which is good and it makes it aberrant. And you can take this across all the spectrum of life. When somebody says, I can't believe in your God because there's evil in the world, I want to ask that person, what evil? So tonight, give me one word, what evil? Murder. How do you know murder's wrong? How do you know it's wrong? You know evil or murder is wrong because murder has actually technically something that God has written down inside of you. You know, you don't have to commit a murder, do you, to know that murder is wrong? What about, do you think in any culture in the world, telling a lie is acceptable? Did you know it's not? These things come from a moral law that God has put within man. So we would say, you know what? I can't believe in your God because there's so much evil. Wait a minute. All the evil that is ought to cause you to believe in God. Because you know what is wrong. You know what's evil. You know, and I want to ask you tonight, where did you get that from? Even for those that are not educated, they understand that there are things that are do's and there's things that are do nots. And the question is, where does that come from? We know inherently that good exists. It's interesting that there may be no posted laws, there may be no posted signs, but you might be quite shocked as to how often you do in your life. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm saying that you and I do so much good that is within us. I'm not talking about us being inherently good. I'm talking about you and I having been created in the image of God. There's this moral law, this natural law that's within every human being that we know that thing there is the wrong thing to do. You might be at the beach. God forbid, right? But it happens. You might be at the beach and you realize or you see that that man out there or that child looks like they're drowning. And Now listen, think. The moment you see that that person's in trouble, what's going through your mind? Save them. What's the second question that comes into your mind? I'm serious. Oh, you guys have to be honest here. Okay, well, here's what you're supposed to say. This is what happens when it really happens. Oh my gosh, I think that person's drowning. Someone needs to do something about that. Listen. Someone needs to do something about that. You look around. There's nobody. Instantly, your emotion is, if you recognize it or not, built in you by God, self-preservation. First thought, that person's in trouble. Call for help. Have you heard that? Call 911. That is by design, internally, natural law in the human heart. Call 911. There's no phone. There's nobody here. Next thought, self-preservation versus saving their life. Self-preservation versus saving their life. I'm going to save their life. You make a decision at the expense of your own life. It may cost you your life to save that individual. There's no sign posted that when you see someone drowning, you risk your own life and save them. Do you hear me? That is an inherent good that nobody can define or describe. Why? Because you've been created in the image of God. You can, listen, skeptic, atheist, agnostic, whatever, you can argue all the way around the block with theory. But when reality strikes, you, even though you don't believe in God, you have been wired in such a way that you will respond and you'll have to be challenged by the things that God has placed within you. And you may not even believe in God. Good exists. One of the arguments that I say arguments, that sounds kind of abrasive. I don't say to my grandkids, let me give you one of the arguments for the existence of God. I'll say things like this. Isn't it amazing that God thought it would be great to paint the sky blue instead of purple or orange? Or imagine if the sky was orange all the time or yellow. Isn't it amazing that God made it blue, which is pleasant to look at, and he can float big clouds by like he did this week? Pleasant to look at. That the trees are green. These are pleasant things.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called, Why Is There a Good and Evil? We're very happy that you could join us today. Why Is There a Good and Evil is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Why Series, a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life. And together, we'll discover the answers found in the Bible, which is our amazing roadmap towards our meaning and purpose for living. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, it's built into our DNA to want to know what happens in the future. It's why people spend millions each year on psychics and fortune tellers. But for the Christ follower, we can rest in the fact that our future is in God's hands. Did you know that the Bible is filled with prophecies that have already come to pass? But the most exciting part is there are some that have not happened yet that God wants us to know about. That's why Pastor Jack takes the prophetic word found in Scripture so seriously, and it's how we can know the Bible is true. And in that light, we're excited to tell you about the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference. It'll be hosted by our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs through our exclusive live stream pass. The conference is live on Saturday, September 11th, and for only a $5 purchase, you'll have the ability to see pre-recorded teachings and backstage access with all the speakers. So get your streaming pass right away, or to find a church nearby you that's hosting the conference, simply visit our website. That's at beholdhecomes.org. One more time, beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.